listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you, broadcasting on commercial radio stations from coast to coast, on Sirius XM all across the North American continent, on Pacifica stations across America, Europe, and Africa, on American Forces Radio, on every U.S. military base in the world, and simulcast as television on Dish Network and DirecTV via the Free Speech TV network. Well, the standoff, as it were, in Nevada is over, but it's not over. At least Harry Reid has just come out and said it's not over. We had some quite lengthy discussion about this on the program yesterday, and I'd like to pick that up. Sheriff Richard Mack, who's been a guest on our program before, former sheriff of Graham County, Arizona. He's on the board of directors of the Oath Keepers Movement. The website is oathkeepers.org. His website is Sheriff Mack, M-A-C-K.com. Twitter at Sheriff Mack, M-A-C-K, is back in line with us. Sheriff Mack, welcome back to the program.
Well, thanks, Tom. It's good to be back with you. I'm just driving the road down the road, going back home for a little bit. Probably will go back, but right now my son and I have got to get back home for a few other duties.
Yeah, I understand. Tell me, if you could, let me give you the perspective that I seem to be figuring out on this, and tell me where I'm wrong, because okay. Here we've got a multimillionaire rancher who wants to fatten his cattle on land that you and I own and pay for with our tax dollars, and he keeps all the profit from that, and somehow that has become an issue that has to do with freedom. And then you got a multimillionaire media guy, Sean Hannity, jacking up his ratings and making millions in advertising revenue, promoting this. And now the Koch brothers, through the Americans for Prosperity, they got billions potentially tied up in federal lands with both cattle and gas and oil operations and uranium mining, that if they could do away with federal control over this land, they could make so much more money. It seems to me like the billionaires are playing American patriots for patsies. What am I missing?
Well, you know, the same thing you say about Sean Hannity, we could say about you or any other talk.
Well, I'm not even a millionaire, much less a multimillionaire. But yeah, I will own up to the fact that I like to do radio that is well rated.
No, I would love to have a million. I don't, but I don't think I'm evil if I do. But I'll tell you right now, I don't know where you get the financial situation for the Bundys, because I was in their home yesterday and had dinner with them. And if those people are millionaires, then I'm a monkey's uncle, because those people, I've never been in such a humble home in my life. It's small, it's run down. These people don't have money, and the government has been attacking them, and if they used to have money, they don't anymore, because the government continues to destroy them and the industry. What I would be most concerned with, okay, this story that you failed to put in all of this analogy or that you're bringing up, and that is that why is the government trying to destroy the ranching industry? This is the last rancher out of 53. Last one. The last one, Tom. And they continue to go after these guys for the most ridiculous and innocuous reasons. And they bring out an army to go after them because of grazing fees. And not only that, but grazing fees for this family would have been an ex post facto law, which are completely contrary to the Constitution. These people have owned and run this ranch since 1877, and if you go look at the land and say, rancher, you owe me, you owe the people of this country or this state or whatever money, because you're out there working this land and trying to make a living, so you're not on welfare. The government is now putting these people out on the streets, wants them to shut down, so there are no ranchers in this area, and that they're completely disregarding this man's rights to pursuit of happiness and his business interests in this area. 900 cattle does not create a millionaire, and the government just keeps going after him and after him and after him. And grazing fees should offend anybody that we charge grazing fees. Why not water fees? Why not breathing fees? Ridiculous bureaucracies of Washington, D.C., once again, overreacting and not respecting the pursuit of happiness of a common, ordinary man and his family, and these are some of the best people I've ever met in my life.
Okay, so of the, there apparently there's 600,000 acres at play here, And my understanding was about a half million of these acres he and his family owns, and a little less than 100,000 of it is what the BLM has that he's been illegally grazing on. Are my numbers totally way off?
The only thing I heard is they the Bundys own 160 acres. And we were trying to move the cows at one time back to his 160 acres, which would be enough for them to live on.
Okay, so somebody's been adding a whole bunch of zeros to these numbers.
But, you know, maybe. I didn't hear that from the Bundys, but I did hear that with when Stuart Rhodes and I were in negotiation and talking about...
What is wrong with... excuse me. Okay, so what you're saying is basically that these guys...
Let me add something.
Go ahead.
The other problem is the federal government allowed to own 85% of Nevada?
Or
should the rangelands and public lands be Nevada and Clark County lands, just as Mr. Bundy has said? The federal government constitutionally is not allowed to own all the open ranges in America.
Actually, it is. It's in Article 4 of the Constitution. You can read it yourself.
I've read the Constitution a lot, and it says they own the jurisdiction of Washington, D.C., 10 square miles, and they can have post offices and dockyards and arsenals. Where does it say that all open land belongs to the federal government?
Just a second. I'll find it for you while we're talking. Are you asserting that federal land should just be open to all of us, that I should be able to go out and find some federal land and say, hey, I'm going to figure out a way to make some money on this?
Not now, but that did exist at one time. If you look at the homestead laws, and these people had this ranch there way before the grazing laws were put into effect. And to go in after the law, after the fact, which is ex post facto, and both of you and I both know that that is in the Constitution, and those are illegal. And they go in and say, okay, we're just going to start charging you whatever we feel like it.
Yeah.
And
here, whatever we feel like, here
it
is in the Constitution, Sheriff. It's Article 4, Section 3, Paragraph 2. The Congress shall have the power, and it did, by the way, in 1934, it's called the Taylor Act, established grazing fees for public lands.
Right.
And then Ronald Reagan amended that with an executive order in 86. The Congress shall have the power to dispose of and make all needful rules and regulations respecting the territory or other property belonging to the United States. And nothing in this Constitution shall be so construed as to prejudice any claims of the United States or of any particular state. In other words, the federal government has total sovereignty over this stuff.
Okay, I know that part. However, when Nevada became a state, they came into the state, they came into the Union how? Equal footing, just like any other state. And that means the land of that state belongs to the state. Before, when Nevada was a territory, that law is valid. When they became a state, then the state laws became valid. And New Hampshire and the 13 original colonies are not owned today by the federal government. New Hampshire's 2%.
Well, there's federal land in New Hampshire. 100%. I used to own 600 acres 2%. That butted up against it.
2%. 2%. Look it up.
Yeah.
2%.
But it's there.
13 original.
It's there.
Owned by the federal government.
Yeah, it's there. But the net here is.
It's not 85. And so for the government to continue to overreach, overstep.
So your argument is that Bundy should be able to make a living off our land because the federal government, because we own too much land in Nevada.
No, my point is this. Why is the federal government running ranches out and you're not caring? They're destroying the ranching industry and the food supply, and these people have not been committing crimes. They're trying to do a business, and the federal government keeps running them out.
But it's the law. I mean, shouldn't we be changing the law? You're a lawman.
Well, it's the law. What is the law?
The law is what Congress says it is. Congress designated that as federal land.
And they're always constitutional and everything's fine there, right?
Sheriff, can you stick around for just a second?
Sir.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
I'm sorry, we're getting stuff done. Can you stick around for a second, sir?
Yeah, let's keep going.
I'm fascinated by this conversation. Hang on. It'll be just a couple seconds. Okay, we have Sheriff Richard Mack with us. His website, sheriffmack.com, oathkeepers.org. And I'm trying to wrap my brain around this. You were saying our break hit you. You were in mid sentence. What was the thought you were trying to share with us, sir? Sheriff Mack?
Yes.
Yeah. You were trying to finish a thought there when the break happened. I'm sorry, the machine just does that automatically. I don't have any control over it.
Oh, okay. Are we already back?
Yeah, we're on the air.
Oh, okay. That was a quick break.
But, well, it's yeah. Actually what's you know about half. Go ahead.
You know, Thomas Jefferson said laws were nothing but tools of the tyrant, and we keep going along with an out of control Congress, who you know everything they touch they ruin and screw up. They can't even run their own budget. They keep telling everybody that we have to keep spending money out of. I mean, we can talk about the abuses of this federal government on and on. We have a Congress that has a 9% approval rating, a president that can't tell the truth, and that continues to abuse people across this country with one way or another, and now we have this ridiculous Obamacare, and we're supposed to trust the BLM to run our lands. Why don't we let the states run their own lands? Why don't we let the states be sovereign like they are? I sued the federal government on the issue and won a landmark decision on the issue of the 10th Amendment, that the states are sovereign. If the states are sovereign, then they should be at least able to control their own geography. And the Bundys simply want to be left alone. These are good, honest American people. I've never met another sweeter, more lovable, more faithful person in my life than Carol Bundy. She's at peace. She is so precious in her attitude and all of this. And these Bundys don't want to fight. They want their ranch. And they want their rights respected. And they haven't been respected in this. And this, the pursuit of happiness is the real principle that we're involved with here. 1934, you talked about when they made the grazing fees.
Right.
Well, I can tell you when they made the income tax, too. And it was originally 2%. And now it's like 60% in a lot of areas. And we pay taxes up the yin-yang. And so do these ranchers. And we add to it now grazing fees, where these guys can barely make a living. And this federal government is destroying the ranches in this area, and I have to ask why, and why are we accepting it, and why you and other people aren't totally outraged by this, and say, why is the federal government destroying farms? Why are they destroying people's livelihoods? Well, they provide great welfare programs so they can get on welfare. Well, that doesn't make any sense. None of this makes any sense. And then they take an army in there to go after these people, rough them up, body slapped the elderly lady, and we're all supposed to go, oh, well, they should have obeyed the law. Well, I think we need a federal government that finally obeys the Constitution, and they should set an example in obeying the law. And if they're not going to follow the law and the supreme law of the land known as the Constitution, why should any of us respect their policies and bureaucratic regulations?
Okay. We're going to, in about 20 seconds, we're going to hit another one of those musical breaks, and then we'll come right back, if that's okay with you. And then we've got until 28, we got until the bottom of the hour. Then we got to get off altogether because the news comes on and all that kind of stuff. But stick around for just a second, Sheriff Mack, because I would like to answer that, and I'd like to get your thoughts on the answer. We'll be right back. 20 minutes past the hour. We're talking with Sheriff Richard Mack. His website, Sheriff Mack, MACK.com. And, of course, oathkeepers.org. We'll be right back. Past the hour, we're talking with Sheriff Richard Mack, former Arizona Graham County Sheriff and a member of the Board of Directors of Oath Keepers, oathkeepers.org, sheriffmack.com, his personal website, Twitter, at Sheriff Mack, M-A-C-K. Now, Sheriff, you quoted Thomas Jefferson as about tyrants make and enforce laws. I think he was talking about the British because he brought into being the government of the United States, which is a whole bunch of laws. I get it
that government would get out of control. He was not just talking about the British. But,
okay.
You know, he said when all power should be drawn to Washington as the center of, when all government should be drawn to Washington as the center of all power, it would become as corrupt and venal and oppressive as the government we separated from. He was talking about us. He was talking about the new government. He was talking about Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Let's about this right now.
Let's assume for a moment that your vision of Washington, D.C. as an out-of-control, corrupt. I mean, there are many ways in which I would readily agree with you on this, okay? Let's just assume for a minute that it's out of control, it's corrupt, that the BLM, even in this case, may have some hidden agenda. I know that there have been a lot of conspiracy theories about this. What's the but the fact of the matter is that, you know, Ronald Reagan signed this executive order in 1986 that this family had to start paying their fees. They did from then until 93.
That brings up executive orders.
Right, I know. I understand. They did. They paid those fees until 93 when Clinton came into office, and then they stopped. And then in 98.
Orders are not law.
Right.
And orders are not
no,
law.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just okay. Laying out the narrative here. And then in 98, and then in, you know, when Clinton became president, they basically stopped, at least is my understanding, in 93, stopped paying. And then in 98, they were ordered off the land, and they've just refused to leave this federal land ever since. If the government is tyrannical, if Obamacare is a symptom of it, if the federal government has totally run amok, how is openly defying three different orders of three different federal courts, how is openly defying the law and the authority of the law the solution to that? Shouldn't the solution to that be to vote the bums out and get in legislators who are going to bring the Tea Party in, whatever. People who are going to take apart our federal government and turn the power back over to the states. I mean, or should we all just start ignoring federal law? I mean, isn't it really one or the other? Or are you calling for some kind of armed revolution against the United States? You were talking about putting women out in front. You know, if the shooting starts, at least you've been quoted on that. I'm curious your thoughts on how this all should play out.
That was taken out of context, and it was obvious that the soldiers there and the army there were ready to hurt women because they already had. But the context of putting women out in the front, the whole thing had been diffused when I said that. I was talking about the courage of these women that were already there and that they could have stopped this whole thing. I was talking about them and saying how courageous they were. No one was asking women to be shields for anybody. The militia really got offended that I was even thinking about that. Hey, we're the man, we're here, we're taking care of it.
Yeah.
So no one ever used that as a strategy. No one's serious about making that suggestion. I want to make that very clear. But you talk about courts and you talk about the oppression. If it's corrupt, then the courts are corrupt. I can tell you a lot of things the courts have done that have been very corrupt. In fact, the United States Supreme Court made up some weird, ridiculous doctrine called separate but equal, and they supported segregation, and they supported
I agree with you. I'm an opponent of judicial review. I think the Supreme Court has been overstepping its power since Dred Scott, frankly.
The Bundys never had it. Yeah, Dred Scott, that's the one. Thank you, perfect. But the courts have never supported, like Rosa Parks, when she was arrested for failing to give her seat to a white man.
Sure.
Laws have been laws of hate and prejudice and stupidity, laws that are clearly in contradiction to the Constitution. We don't wait to vote people out that did that. Voting has not worked. Washington, D.C. is bought and paid for by corporate interests. They vote according to the people who donate most to them, and they make laws that come from donors, not from the people. And so to enforce these laws that are completely and directly associated with corporate interests are still against the Constitution. This whole thing has been, the entire Constitution has been turned on its head by these corrupt public officials in Washington, D.C., and we're supposed to trust these people who are now controlling our water, controlling our land, controlling our air, controlling our education, controlling our health care, controlling every facet of our lives from the day we're born. In fact, that was Obama's thing with Jill, the person born, controlling all the way to the time she's buried. That's not what the federal government was for. And we must respect the 10th Amendment. We must respect state sovereignty. We must respect that Nevada should own their own land, not the federal government. And the first thing that all of us should be addressing that you haven't talked about every time I say it is that the government keeps destroying the ranches. And these guys are holding on very courageously. They haven't left like all the others. And why do we as Americans sit here and let it
happen? Well, you know, I used to live in Oregon where there's a lot of national forests, and there are a whole lot of people who would love to go out and cut down those trees, sell them, and make a profit. But it's federal land. And you know, we've just decided as a country, back Teddy Roosevelt decided he was going to protect some of our federal lands. Maybe that's the same thing with these ranchers. I mean, cows do a lot of damage.
How has that worked out? How has that worked out for us since the Forest Service takes over watching the forest? Are forest fires more frequent and worse now? Absolutely, because they don't know what they're doing. They don't let people go in there and clear it off. And then when there's lightning or any other spark, it burns everything. And even when local people, even firefighters who try to come and put out a fire in New Mexico just recently and in Arizona about 5 years ago, the federal government prevents them from coming in and helping and working. And we have sheriffs fighting the Forest Service because they go in with a heavy hand and start shutting down roads, shutting down access, charging people for helping clear off the land, which should be happening anyway. And just like I said, these people don't know what they're doing. They don't even know how to balance their own budget. They're spending.
Okay. Sheriff Mack, good talking with you again. Hang on just a second.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
Sheriff Richard Mack, his website, sheriffmack.com and oathkeepers.org. Sir, thank you for dropping by. Oh, he dropped off the phone. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Well, you know, first of all, dueling Jefferson quotes. I mean, Thomas Jefferson never said anything about power being concentrated in Washington, D.C., ever. And even in his later days, you know, after he left Washington, D.C., when he was very, very concerned about the possibility of a civil war and talked about that, you know, Sheriff Mack is using some quotes that, you know, that you may find them on the Internet, but they're not real Jefferson quotes. But that said, you know, America was a very different country before the Revolutionary War, during the Revolutionary War, and during the, what, dozen years more or less between the Revolutionary War and the signing of the Constitution, when the states were sovereign and independent. And I realize that there's a movement to go back to a pre-constitutional time. And then you could argue also that the states had a lot more power from the time, you know, 1789, when the Constitution was ratified, until 1861, you know, until the Civil War, till the end of the Civil War. What did it end? 61, 62, 64, 1864. Thank you, Shane. That was the point in time at which we went from basically a strong state, weak federal government period to, you know, era. I mean, actually, it happened during the Civil War. These were a whole series of powers, basically, that Lincoln took onto himself. From strong states, weak federal government, to strong federal government, weak states. And it was necessary to hold the republic together. And that's what we've had since 1864. So which America are we trying to go back to? Pre-1864? Are we trying to go back to the Confederate States? Are we trying to go back to pre-Constitution Articles of Confederation? Or is there a reading of the Constitution, including Article 4, Section 3, which says that the federal government basically has federal lands and can dispose of them and do what, you know, make rules and regulations for them however they damn well please, as long as it's done by Congress, in other words, by we the people through our elected representatives. And certainly our federal parks have been established that way, and the BLM was established that way. Is there some different way to run this country? And then if that's the case, the one question that I really wanted to ask Sheriff Mack, but we ran out of time, I guess, was if you get the federal government completely out of the way, you know, like I was talking about the federal forests in Oregon or the ranching land in Arizona, you get the federal government out of the way, what's to protect us from the billionaires, from the predators, just coming in and destroying our federal parks, our federal lands, overgrazing them in the case of Nevada, overlogging them in the case of Oregon, overdrilling them in the case of Alaska? What's to protect us if not the government of, by, and for we the people? And I don't believe that the libertarians have any answer to that question. So, anyhow, Vicki in Tucson, Arizona, listening on Sirius. Hey, Vicki, what's up?
Hi, Tom. I, with all due respect to Sheriff Mack, I think I can refute his claim and the claim of the rancher that Nevada's sovereign, the government shouldn't own or does not own 92% or so of Nevada land. The Nevada State Constitution, which was adopted in 1864, ironically, the people inhabiting said territory do agree and declare that they forever disclaim all right and title to the unappropriated public lands lying within said territory, and that the same shall be and remain at the sole and entire disposition of the United States.
Wow, we're quoting from the Nevada Constitution.
That's what I'm reading.
Whoa, I wish I'd had that 20 minutes ago.
I'm still listening.
Yeah, well, I don't know if he is or not, but that's pretty extraordinary. And then, you know, if you read Article 4 of the Constitution, you know, the Congress shall have the right to dispose of and make all needful rules and regulations respecting the territory or other property belonging to the United States. And nothing in this Constitution shall be so construed as to prejudice any claims of the United States or of any particular state. So basically they're saying once you become a state, if you're nothing in the Constitution prejudices your claims. In other words, we're basically taking authority over that.
Correct.
That's
another point to that is I believe that they're always talking about the invisible hand of the market and how you should be self-sufficient. And if he cannot be self-sufficient with the land that he owns, then why should we pick up the slack that for his business?
Or how is his wanting to graze his cattle on federal land different from a poor person in an inner city wanting to get food stamps from the federal
exactly.
government?
You are depending on the federal government to subsidize whatever it is that you need.
Right, to put it in a frame that would cause a Tea Partier to freak out. Vicki, excellent point. Thank you for the call, and thank you for sharing that with us. We're going to have to dig out the Arizona Constitution and read it. I should have done that to begin with. Steve in Chicago. Hey, Steve.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Prior to this sort of nonsense that your guest was spouting in terms of ex post facto law, That is in no way applicable here. The notion that you cannot change the status of things like property, land, and so forth, it is in no way, shape, or form, again, affected by that construct within the Constitution that says that I can't punish you for something that wasn't against the law at the time that you were
right.
doing it.
Ex post facto means you can't pass a law making something criminally retroactive. And first of all, this doesn't have to do with criminal law. And
you're exactly right. And the other, and that's the point that's important here, that, you know, we are not asking him to pay some sort of fee that a century ago his family didn't pay.
Right.
We're asking him to pay the fees going forward from, say, 1986.
Well, actually, from 93, he paid it apparently from 86 to 93, and then Clinton became president.
But
from 93 to 98, we're asking him to pay those fees, but then in 98, we just told him to get the hell off the land, and he's refused to ever since then.
Exactly. And I, you know, you really do need, you know, when you talk to these guys, I mean, you're really talking about the construct of law and precedent and so forth from two entirely different universes.
I got that. That's why I wasn't, you know, I mean, I could have done debate with him on so many pieces of minutia in there, but it became very clear to me that he and I are looking at and talking about two completely different countries.
Exactly. And they have their sort of own constitutional, shall we say, courts and so universities, if you want to call them that, if you want to call six guys sitting around listening to some new interpretation of the Constitution from somebody who never, ever went to law school, has never attended a real university. But they've decided that they are going to tell you what the Constitution really means. Right. And they're going to selectively do so by excluding those rulings, you know, they don't like. You know, for instance, a great question I always like to ask these guys is, look, the Constitution allows for a Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court and lower courts have the responsibility of interpreting law. So are you dismissing that part of what the Founding Fathers intended because you don't like what that, those courts have been saying? And then imagine that precedent if we all decided we didn't like what the federal government decided to do. I mean, I don't like the fact that the federal government used my tax dollars to go to war in Iraq. But I don't have a right to not send in my tax dollars as of April 15th right. today because I don't like that fact. You know, it's not a way a society could ever function.
Right. Right. We're either all in this or we're not. And if we're not, then we're talking about another civil war or we're talking about a secession.
Right.
And I have a feeling that secession is big on the radar screen. A lot of these folks, not speaking to Sheriff Mack, and he's certainly not here to defend himself, but the secession is big. And, you know, Rick Perry used to make jokes about it. I don't think he was
right.
joking.
And the funny thing about these people is that I don't think they really understand how much of their lives are derived benefit from a strong federal government, taxes that we pay. You know, I mean, when these people showed up to defend Mr. Bundy, they probably, a lot of them, you know, did it by using an interstate highway system that was developed by a big federal government,
right.
You know. And Mr. Bundy's beef, you know, it's probably safer than a lot of beef that you find in the rest of the world because we have a federal government with certain standards in terms of beef safety and so forth.
Right,
so,
slaughterhouses.
We can go down a whole list of things that benefit these people that they would not get if you just said, all right, cut you off, you're not part of the federal government anymore, you don't pay taxes, but you know what? You don't get the benefits any longer. And I would love to see them live one week of their lives without anything from the federal government. You can't get on our roads. You can't utilize our schools. You can't utilize any of the protections. You know, if someone wants to build a factory down the street from you and pollute the land and water on which your family is living, you have no recourse because there's no EPA. You know, I'd love for them to live that life just for a week and see what they think.
Yeah, yeah. It really is. We really are talking about different worldviews, and the worldview represented here is a utopian one. I mean, they believe it's utopian. I view it as dystopian, but they really think, you know, if the government would only get out of the way, everything would be wonderful. I mean, this is Ayn Rand on steroids, and it's really taken deep root in the United States, although it did back in the late 1850s, and it led right to the Civil War. Steve, thank you for the call. Thanks for listening to WCPT.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Back with more of my thoughts and your thoughts on what's going on out in Nevada and how the federal government should be reacting to this, how we should be reacting to it as citizens. And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. And, David watching Free Speech TV in Anderson, South Carolina. Hey, David.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Sounds like a bunch of us are on the same page as what we're thinking about the sheriff. Sounds like he cherry-picks the Constitution pretty much, if memory serves me, is how he kind of cherry-picked how he used to enforce the law back when he was active.
Yeah, you could argue that, but, you know, I have to give him a certain amount of credit, much as I give Phyllis Schlafly credit. I think he actually believes what he's saying. And he actually is willing to sacrifice for his beliefs. I think his beliefs are wrong. I think he misunderstands the history of this country. I think he's been fed a line by people who have a lot of money to make off it. But on the other hand, you know, if you've got a family that is hanging on by their fingernails because they've historically been able to make their money basically, you know, living off federal land, and now they can't do it anymore. And he meets them and gets to know them personally and has some sympathy for them. I don't know how you rebut that personal level. I mean, it would be not unlike saying to somebody, well, you know, who knows a family that went on food stamps and aid to dependent families or whatever, in order to get through a rough time, you know, when dad left or died or whatever, and finally, you know, everything got better, and to say to them, well, you know, they shouldn't have had anything from the federal government. I mean, I don't want to conflate the two absolutely, but I think that the sheriff, you know, has had this personal experience of getting to know these people and developing sympathy for them. I'm not sure how to respond to that.
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, it's, I can respect at least that he had enough empathy to play upon that. But I'm getting so sick of the state sovereignty thing being brought up continually. Again, I'm from South Carolina, and so looking at history, as you were talking about how these people seem to be ignorant of the history, we've seen what state sovereignty and lack of government control has done. I mean, it's bad enough now with these people that are interfering with the elections and all that, and the stuff that's allowed to go on with these people getting around the law, the industrialists and so on.
Yeah.
I don't know if these guys are so naive that they think that the states are going to control them. I'll be honest with you, the city I'm living in right now, there are a lot of politicians here locally who, quite frankly, they're pretty blatant about the fact that they are bought and paid for. Or
well, see, this is where you and I would agree with Sheriff Mack.
See, this on a local level, though. I mean, these, if the state...
It's happening from the local level all the way up to the federal level, that basically, right. You know, we don't have a democracy anymore. We've got an oligarchy. Right. And, you know, he's freaked out about it. I'm freaked out about it. He thinks the way to do it is to take down the government. I think the way to do it is to get the billionaires out of the government. But, you know, we're both, I think, freaked out about something very, very similar.
The state level, we'd still have slavery and a lot of other things.
I'm not a total states right guy. I'm not suggesting that, but I'm seeing this same corruption that he's seen. Let me go on. David, thank you for the call. I'm going to go off on that just a little bit more, and then we'll pick up more of your calls. Stick around. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Okay, here's the one. Here's what I keep getting stuck on in my brain. Sheriff Mack is talking about how our government is bought and paid for. I mean, look at Matt Taibbi just published a book on this. And in fact, I'm sure we'll have him on the program in the next couple of days about it, about how, you know, these banksters, they rip off people. They don't go to jail. They pay a small fine. It represents a couple of days worth of profits. They're laughing at us. The oil billionaires, the big guys don't have to play by the rules. But the little guys do. And in the case of Sheriff Mack and the Bundy family, it's the little guys being the Bundy family. You got this ranching family. I would argue that there's a similar case to be made for, you know, the Occupy movement in Detroit trying to stop people from being evicted from their homes. That it's the same thing. And that we're on the same side at a certain level, that the Supreme Court has given our government, you know, through decisions like Buckley versus Vallejo, First National Bank, and Citizens United. The Supreme Court has given the keys to our government over to billionaires and multinational corporations. And Bundy's getting screwed, and people in millions, literally millions of homeowners across America got screwed. And right now, almost 2 million Americans are getting screwed, not getting their health insurance. Or, you know, falling into the red state donut hole in those states where that's at. And this is all because, you know, wealthy interests are now bankrolling our politics. And I think Sheriff Mack is right about that. I think his solution and my solution are different. And we're coming out of slightly different worldviews, but I think that we're both identifying the same problem. Randy in Onawa, Iowa. Hey, Randy, what's up?
Hey, good day, Tom. God, this is such a rich subject that I've got a couple of points I'd like to make, and then you can let me know what you think.
Sure.
But what I look at it is when the federal government becomes entangled or ineffectual, when states' rights will lead to mob rule or market rule, what you have is the possibility for a corporate-owned state. And when this a corporate-owned state or a group of states could lead to an embargo or a breakaway. In essence, this would have the makings of the Civil War. And what do you think?
I agree. Or it could simply be a secession. I mean, Lincoln could have said to the Southern states, see you later. He chose not to. Yep.
The other thing is that you're speaking, or they're speaking about, the sheriff was speaking for the Bundys. Why doesn't the sheriff take into account the 14 million citizens who are out of work, how free trade has put the debt load on the taxpayers and relieved and promoted corporate growth overseas? He's just not being honest.
Well, no, I think he is. I think that's what's driving the rage. I mean, when you got a bunch of unemployed or underemployed white people watching Fox News and listening to right-wing talk radio, and many of them are old enough. In fact, probably most of them are old enough, because the demographic for talk radio skews older, and for Fox News it's in the high 60s, low 70s, that they remember when General Motors was the biggest employer in this country 30 years ago and Reagan came into office. GM was the biggest employer, and in today's dollars, GM was paying $50 an hour. And today the biggest employer in this country is Walmart, and in today's dollars, they're paying $9 to $10 an hour on average. And, yep. You know, they know, these white people, by and large, you know, that they're being screwed. Now, black people have been screwed like this for 100 years, and they've been well aware of it all along. But it's just starting to dawn on the white middle class that they're now in the same boat. And they're starting to freak out. I think that what we're seeing right now with this, you know, all these symptoms of this freak out, in some ways, and on the left, it's the Occupy movement. On the right, it's this sovereign citizen movement and the militia movement. But I think the whole thing is this reaction to, hey, we're being screwed and we're not going to take it anymore. And it's not that different from what happened in the early 70s when African Americans were burning inner cities in Detroit and in Watts, saying, hey, you know, in the 60s, you passed these laws that said that, you know, we had equal rights. Well, where is it?
Yeah, I understand that, and I agree.
And I think until we stop all getting screwed, you know, then all the conspiracy theories about what caused the getting screwed are, you know, that would take that away, right? If we went, you know, if we went back to full employment in the United States, it would free public education like we had pretty much before Reagan became president. You know, the Occupy movement would lose its steam, and so would the militia movement. They would both lose their steam, and you know, we would be back to a functional country and a functional government. But as long as we've got this, you know, rule by billionaire oil oligarchs, and every industry, including and particularly the media, is consolidated in the hands of a small number of very, very wealthy corporations. And the families that own them. I mean, you know, I mean, NBC now is owned by Comcast, which is owned by a family. It's not even a publicly traded company. It's like, this is how concentrated it's gotten. And I absolutely understand how freaked out these guys are. And, you know, where it's coming. And I don't think that by ridiculing them or dismissing them, even when they're wrong on their Jefferson quotes or whatever, I don't think any of us are doing ourselves any favors. We've got to understand that we're all in this thing together. We're all being screwed by the same people and by the same 1/100th of 1%. And we got to figure out a way to let the militia know. And you know, what I think Occupy figured out a long time ago, which is that it's the 1/10th of 1% or the 1/100th of 1% that are screwing us all, and they're doing it in different ways. And whether they're doing it through the BLM or not, I frankly don't know. But I can tell you that, you know, the agencies that are regulating our banks are certainly falling down on the job, and that's the Obama administration right now. And you know, it's just that started during the Bush administration. You know, basically he stopped enforcing the laws against banksters. So, anyhow, Randy, thanks for the call. We'll be back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Hey, friends, Tom Hartman here. Thanks so much for watching and listening to the program. The Tom Hartman program is brought to you in part by the following underwriters. Identity Guard. Count on us to help protect what makes you, you. WIX.com. Everyone deserves to have their own website. ITMTrading.com. America's source for rare coins and precious metals. BostonBeer.com, Boston Beer, maker of handcrafted beers. Geico.com, providers of insurance. IdentityGuard.com, total protection. Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze. And EcoWine.com, your source for organic wine since 1980. These underwriters support our show, so please help by supporting the people who make this program possible. You can learn more at TomHartmann.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartmann Program.
Welcome back. Tom Hartmann here with you, 5 minutes past the hour. And Richard Viguerie is on the line with us, the commentator, founder of the Conservative Headquarters, author of the new book, Takeover. ConservativeHQ.com is his website. Many folks have suggested that Mr. Viguerie is one of the founders of the modern-day conservative movement. I would not disagree with that. I'm guessing he wouldn't. Would you, sir?
Well, I was there at the beginning.
You definitely were.
The conservative movement, you know, the Bill Buckleys, the Barry Goldwaters, and others. I was fortunate to be a young kid right out of Texas there, and I watched a lot of it, but I was very green and very young back in those days. But I just happened to be at the right spot at the right time.
So we just had Sheriff Mack on, Sheriff Richard Mack. He was coming back from the Bundy Ranch in the last hour. And his assertion was... I'm a little confused by all this, actually, was that the Bundy family should be allowed to continue to graze their cattle and sell them for a profit in the public marketplace on our land, on taxpayers' land, and not pay for it because of freedom something. It had something to do with freedom and Thomas Jefferson and Nevada not giving up their lands and stuff when they became a state. Can you untangle that for me?
No, that's not, there's enough right and wrong on both sides, Tom, here. We have a situation whereby, in my opinion, the Obama administration has been disobeying the law, ignoring the Constitution, changed his own Obamacare law, 37 times, and without asking Congress or anything. And then,
wait a second. Well, you're talking about Obamacare now. Can we confine our conversation to what's going on in Arizona?
No, you can't, Tom, because there is a ruling class that has finally caused a lot of Americans to wake up and feel they're just being abused and they're just tired of it.
But isn't that the ruling class, sir, that you've raised hundreds of millions of dollars for over the years? Isn't
the,
you know,
the Tea Party types?
No, the multi-billionaires who run the Tea Party.
Oh, get off it, Tom. That's ridiculous. No, but people are just tired of the ruling class, the Harry Reids of the world, who became a multimillionaire on a politician's salary. They're just beginning to get tired of these people who are rigging the rules to advantage themselves and their friends. We're learning now about Roy Reid, who has financial interests in property around the Bundy Ranch. The whole thing stinks to high heaven, and there's certainly enough blame to go around on both sides. But it is, you must remember, the American people are just tired of all these government abuses, the IRS, the EPA, the NSA, and they're just saying, hey, enough's enough.
Okay, so if we successfully get rid of the IRS and the EPA and the EPA and the FDA and the, you know, you name it.
That's a scarecrow. You just built a scarecrow. If we get rid of the IRS, who said that? No, what I'm saying, they should obey the law. And they're not obeying the law. The NSA is not obeying the law. The EPA, they're acting like bullies. They're coming into this place in Nevada, you know, with police dogs, and they tasered people, heavy armor, throwing people to the ground. People are just tired of the government acting as bullies.
But this family is in defiance of
yes,
two decades of three federal court orders.
Yes, they are. But do you bring in heavy armor, taser people, bring in police dogs, throw people to the ground? That's just a little too...
Well, that's, you know, respectfully, that has happened to several million Americans now in the past, you know,
yes,
what, 6 years, as a consequence of crimes committed by Chase and Chase Bank and, you know, Jamie Dimon and his buddies and Wells Fargo.
You're singing my song. The conservatives, Tom, have been battling crony capitalism. Wall Street, big business, has been in collusion with Washington politicians, state politicians, for as long as I can remember.
Well, then, will you join me in calling for an end to these crony capitalists being able to claim that their money is the same thing as speech and is protected by the First Amendment of the Constitution?
Well, that's different. No, it is protected by the First Amendment. And I would
How is the money of the crony capitalists protected by the Constitution?
I'm sorry, what's that?
How is the money of the crony capitalists who want to seize control of our government and use it to their advantage, how is that protected by the Constitution? Where does the word money appear in the Constitution?
You're framing it like crony capitalists. You know, they should have different rights. I mean, I am as opposed to crony capitalism as anybody.
I think they should have no rights. They should have privileges.
What do you mean, no rights? Well, I'd heard you say something on the air before I came on, which I thought, you know, I strongly disagreed with. A higher education should be a right. Our founders disagreed. Our founders, Tom, said you should have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Nothing about a right to
Thomas Jefferson started the first free college in America, sir.
Somebody else money. You're saying somebody else has to pay for your right. You don't have a right to anything that costs somebody else money. That's somebody else's money. How do you have the right to take their money?
Well, you know, we can debate education and whether it's in the common good. Thomas Jefferson thought it was. It's why he started the University of Virginia. It was more important to him than being president. It's on his tombstone, and being president wasn't.
Yep,
and it was the first free college in the United States.
That's right.
And
he didn't say it was a right.
Well, okay. I'll give you that. But I stand by my belief that it should be a right. But that's not apropos of what's going on in Nevada. How is it the right of a family that owns a $1 million ranch and has made a lot of money over the years grazing cattle on federal land and not paying us for their use of that land and their destruction of that land? How is it their right to continue doing that? And
it isn't, Tom. It isn't. But it's also the people are looking around and seeing Harry Reid's financially benefiting from all this, and his son is.
Harry Reid's got nothing to do with this. He has no power in this situation. He's
the whole picture, Tom.
He's not the governor of Nevada,
Tom. Don't forget now, the main reason we're supposed to be talking here is Takeover, this wonderful book that I wrote.
Okay. your new book is called Takeover. What is the Takeover, Richard Viguerie?
Tom, I make the point in the book that the conservatives, for at least the 50 years I've been involved at the national level, have had our political guns pointed at the wrong target. We've been pointing our political guns at Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama, but the number one problem for conservatives, the thing that's keeping us from governing America, in my opinion, is the big government Republicans. And that's our number one opponent, is John Boehner, Mitch McConnell, Eric Cantor, Karl Rove, Reince Priebus at the Republican National Committee. And that's the Tea Party battle that's going on in America right
now. So what's your solution for that?
Our solution is, I paraphrase James Carville, who you will remember, 1992, said, it's the economy, stupid. It's the economy, stupid. He said that over and over to drive that point home to Democrats. I say to conservatives, it's the primaries, stupid. It's the primaries. Because this wave is going to come in. I'm afraid it could be a tsunami proportions for people like yourself, Tom, and sweep out a lot of Democrats. And if all it does is sweep in more John Boehner, Mitch McConnell, Eric Cantor types, we will have wasted the opportunity of a lifetime. So I'm urging conservatives to be very focused on the primaries. It's a 102-year-old war, by the way. It goes all the way back to 1912 when Teddy Roosevelt left the Republican Party, started the Boogaloo Party, which led directly to the election of Woodrow Wilson with less than 42% of the vote because he split the Republican vote.
Right.
And we've been battling that wing of the party ever since.
Doesn't it arguably go back to the Civil War? I mean, aren't you calling for going back to pre-Civil War times when we had strong states and a weak federal government?
No, we're calling for a rule of law. I want to go back where the people are in control, and we don't have this monstrous big government that leads to things like we just have been talking about here in Nevada. And you know, our founders set up a government that was going to be a minimum government. They didn't want all these branches of government to get along and work together. They put them in conflict with each other so that we wouldn't have a big central government. And what we want to do is get back to where we have a government where it's responsive to the people. Right now, the people have lost control of their government.
Okay. Richard Viguerie, his new book is called Takeover, and conservativehq.com is the website. Hang on just a second, sir.
This is the Tom Hartman
Sorry,
program.
The guy always steps on me. And Mr. Viguerie, thank you so much for dropping by today. Good talk.
Tom, always a pleasure, buddy.
Thank you. Welcome back. Armin in Bradenton, Florida. Hey, Armin, what's up?
Have you figured this out yet, genius friend? The midterms are coming up.
Right.
Okay, the Illuminati establishment, they got Hollywood putting up Noah. That's going to get the 1,500 Christian religions together, whether they agree or disagree, get out and vote, and get rid of that secret Muslim in the White House. And then they got the Fox noise that I can't understand. Fox lost money for 20 years, yet Rupert Murdoch magically put $10 billion away in his family trust.
Well, they only lost money for 5 years, and then they started making a profit. But who is the secret Illuminati, the Richard Viguerie Tea Party branch of the Republican Party, or is it the John Boehner establishment branch of the Republican Party?
It's the Rockefeller International Group Oil Services.
So it's the establishment.
Monopoly oil.
It's the establishment branch of the Republican Party and arguably is part of the Democratic Party, right?
Both parties to the hilt. Because you yourself, how many times do you admit when they're all fighting and bickering and the left and the right and Washington is so far apart, there's two things that they uniquely meet and pass through Congress in minutes under the radar. One of them's foreign aid, and you know primarily to who, and the other one is industrial military budget.
Yeah, this is not all about Israel, Armin. Israel.
I didn't say the word. Now, don't put that in my mouth. I know they're not a player. They're not powerful. They don't have a lot of influence. They don't tell these punks in the White House what to do. You know, I know that they're nothing. That's just a fetish and a fantasy of people that believe that. I agree with you. They don't have any power at all.
I have not said any of those things, Armin. Your sarcasm is
okay. Let me finish. So this is coming up on the midterm.
Pretty twisted.
This is all by design for the midterms to get the Christians to unite and throw off that Muslim in the White House.
What's the this that you're talking about? You say this is. What's the this you're talking about?
The orchestrated through the establishment media, the two factors. One is the big government's the enemy, and they got all the paid. I'll bet you a lot of those mercenaries out there, the you call them the right wing, and I wish you'd quit using that word, because you're working too hard for too long to try to get the fence setters out here that have been programmed and brainwashed by Fox and the like to come over to your side. And here's the problem. I keep saying this to Senator Sanders, and I'm going to say it to you and the left. Quit taking the name out of context, the word right, and describing these people that are fanatical about their guns and their belief in the old Constitution and all these other things. Quit defining it to your listeners, the fence setters, that you want to win over. Unless you're just there because you're controlled opposition, I'm beginning to wonder. I don't want to believe that. But you got to quit using that term, the right, because when you any of these
Armin,
people that
Armin,
are out
let
there,
me let me just give you just straight up honest. We've known each other for a long, long time. I take it from Popeye. You know, I am what I am. What you see is what you get. I'm not speaking on behalf of anybody. I'm speaking on behalf of me. And you know, sometimes the White House is happy with what I say, and sometimes they're very unhappy with what I say. And it's probably why they don't invite me to functions anymore. But it's like, I'm just me, and I'm my own man. And, you know, just for the... And I know that you're your own man, too. Armin, thank you for the call. It's... we'll be back. Welcome back. 20 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. If you weren't listening an hour ago, just about exactly an hour ago right now, we had Sheriff Richard Mack on the program. And he's on the board of directors of the Oath Keepers Movement, and he's a former Arizona Graham County sheriff. And his website, sheriffmack.com. And he had something to say that I think is actually really important. Here it is.
Voting has not worked. Washington, D.C. is bought and paid for by corporate interests. They vote according to the people who donate most to them, and they make laws that come from donors, not from the people. And so to enforce these laws that are completely and directly associated with corporate interests are still against the Constitution. This whole thing has been, the entire Constitution has been turned on its head by these corrupt public officials in Washington, D.C., and we're supposed to trust these people who are now controlling our water, controlling our land, controlling our air, controlling our education, controlling our health care, controlling every facet of our lives from the day we're born. In fact, that was Obama's thing with Jill, the person born, controlling all the way to the time she's buried. That's not what the federal government was for. And we must respect the Fifth Amendment. We must respect state sovereignty. We must respect that Nevada should own their own land, not the federal government. And the first thing that all of us should be addressing that you haven't talked about every time I say it is that the government keeps destroying the ranches. And okay. These guys are...
So we can stop at that point. In fact, that's a great clip. And if you can pull that out and shoot it over to Nate and Andrew, that'd be great. But here's... He started out saying, and can you start that from the beginning very easily? Okay, just listen to the first couple sentences here.
Voting has not worked. Washington, D.C. is bought and paid for by corporate interests. They vote according to the people who donate most to them.
Okay, right there. So voting does not work. Washington, D.C. is bought and sold by the corporate interests, and the legislators vote according to the donors who donates to them. I did that as a rant yesterday. Now, his conclusion of the consequence of that is that somehow Obama has become a tyrant and that we need to show up with guns in the Arizona desert. My conclusion of that is that we need to amend the Constitution so that it's no longer legal to buy and sell our government. But we're starting from the same place. And I think that that's a conversation that we should engage. Anyway, Corky in Hilton, New York. Hey, Corky, what's up?
Hello, Tom. Yeah, I was glad to get in on this rant. I wonder, this is all hype for the midterms, because if it was...
Of course it is.
If it was a minority, say it was Muslims or blacks or Hispanics who were standing in the desert protecting their rights to graze, they would call for them to be mowed down by the federal government. Now,
it's interesting because this morning Louise and I were talking about this, and it just hit me. I said, would Fox News be covering this if this was a Muslim family, and not a non-white Muslim family? Corky, I think you nailed it. Bill in Alto, Michigan. Hey, Bill, what's up?
Hey, Tom, fellow Michigander.
Thank you.
I'm kind of concerned about this because, if they allow these guys to, do the cows on this land for the last 20 years and not pay the government for it, what's to say that somebody, let's say Wisconsin, if they're talking about succeeding, I've heard news in that's the talk over there. Somebody over there doesn't take some of the water out of the Great Lakes and start selling it. They got a drought down in California. And what's to say we don't pipe the Great Lakes down there? I mean, where does this end?
Right. Yeah. Well, that was essentially my question to the sheriff. I don't think he had an answer to it. Well, I don't know. I don't want to speak for him. He's not here to defend himself. But yeah, where does it end? Joanne in Gettysburg, South Dakota. Hey, Joanne, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tom. I really watch you all the time, and I appreciate what you do.
Thank you. Thank you for watching Free Speech TV.
Okay. I am a rancher's daughter.
Okay.
And the concept that that sheriff said that this man owns 160 acres and number one calls that a ranch.
Right.
And then yesterday on your program, they said he had 700 head of cattle.
Right.
Okay. He's just using the federal government, that land, all the time. He doesn't even have a pasture of his own.
He's a squatter. He's a squatter. Okay.
And I'll tell you another thing. My dad, had a ranch about 8, 9, 10,000 acres, something like that. But we had federal land that we leased also.
Right.
In South Dakota. And he did that from the time I was a child. I am 72 years old now. He leased that land forever. Those leases have gone on and on and on. That didn't just start under Ronald Reagan.
No, it was established by the Taylor Act in 1934 during the FDR administration.
Correct. I was born in 41, so from the time I can remember, we were leasing some pasture land for our cattle.
Right.
And, the concept that this guy, a cow-calf pair, that's a mother and a calf.
Right.
They take at least an acre of land per cow-calf pair. And that doesn't last forever. That's just while they're grazing because they only eat certain kinds of grass and that sort of thing. So you're moving them around all the time so that you don't overgraze and that sort of thing. This guy is just, I know that if there was a rancher in Montana, Wyoming, South Dakota, or whatever, that was in the house listening to this now, they'd call you and give you a whole lot better story than I can give you. But they're out calving right now. Their calves are being born.
Right.
And, but this guy is a nut job.
He's a squatter. Okay. Joanne, thank you very much for the call. Thank you. Thanks for watching Free Speech TV.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
I'm trying to find out how big the Bundy Ranch actually is. I'm not finding a good answer here on the Internet. If anybody knows, let me know, would you? We'll be back. Welcome back, Tom Hartman here with you. Imagine if a bunch of, quote, illegal aliens, end quote, were to take over a public park in Tucson, Arizona, and say, we're going to turn this into a vegetable garden and have a farmer's market out in front, and we're going to grow stuff here and sell it to the public. And we have a right to do that because this park, well, let's say it happened to be a federal park. I mean, there's got to be federal land in Tucson or nearby. And so this federal land now, forget the Arizona Constitution, which says, and I quote, that the people inhabiting said territory do agree and declare that they forever disclaim all right and title to the unappropriated public lands lying within said territory, and that the same shall be and remain at the sole and entire disposition of the United States, and that lands belonging to citizens of the United States residing within the said state shall never be taxed higher than the land belonging to the residents thereof, and that no taxes shall be, et cetera, unless provided by the Congress of the United States. Which is interesting. So, but just, instead of a white rancher defying the law, and the sheriff kept saying to me, Tom, why are you not upset about the fact that there's been 50 ranchers in this area who've been run out of business, and this is the last guy standing? Well, what if you had 50 families of Mexican immigrants who were running vegetable gardens on federal land? Or what? I mean, there's a million analogies you could come up with. What gives anybody the right to say that they have a right to make a profit off federal land when the federal government, we the people, says, no, you can't? But the bigger issue here that I think is driving the rage around this, I think, is that, banksters are making off like bandits. Working people are getting screwed. The rich are getting richer. Everybody knows it on the right and on the left. And everybody has different theories about why and how and who. And on the right, the theory is, oh, it's all Obama's fault, and it's big government. And, of course, these are messages that are coming out of Koch brothers, out of billionaires, the Koch brothers and their friends in these right-wing think tanks and on right-wing talk radio, heavily subsidized by very wealthy groups. Left-wing radio, to the best of my knowledge, is not subsidized by anybody, by the way. I wish. But if I was, I would acknowledge it. But, you know, so on the right, they're like, you know, we're being screwed. And it's got to be by somebody. It must be Obama. It must be the liberals. It must be the government. No, you're being screwed by transnational corporations and billionaires. But those billionaires are looking for little tiny situations like the Bundy Ranch that they can hold up and say, see, look at big, nasty government. Take down that government. You take down that government, then those billionaires can say, hey, the government doesn't control federal lands anymore. We do. And it's not going to be the Bundy family. It's going to be Koch Industries taking 100,000 acres or 1 million acres and saying, hey, there's some uranium in here. There's some oil in here. It's going to be Peabody Oil, or Energy, rather. It's going to be Duke Energy. It's going to be, I mean, you know, anyway, as I said, I think there's a lot, the white middle class has, in the last couple of years, in the last decade or so, after 30 years of Reaganomics, basically screwing the white middle class, 34 years ago when Reagan came to office, the largest employer in the United States was General Motors, and they paid $50 an hour in today's dollars. Today, after 34 years of Reaganomics, including the free trade stuff, and you can lay that some of that at the feet of the Democrats as well as the Republicans, 34 years later, still on Reaganomics, and now the biggest employer in the country is Walmart, and they're paying $10 an hour or less. Not the $50 an hour that GM was paying. Even GM isn't paying that anymore. They're starting people out at $14.50 an hour. So the American middle class has had its guts ripped out. And the white American middle class is figuring out what black Americans have known all along, which is the system's rigged. Jay in Naperville, Illinois. Hey, Jay, what's up?
Oh, hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. I thought I dropped you there. What I wanted, you basically hit on what I was talking about there, that if you said, let's find an example of what, you know, of something similar to this. We've had an example through history, and that example was the Black Panthers. I mean, they advocated taking up arms and so forth against the government. They advocated fighting for what they wanted. I mean, they wanted civil rights. They wanted equal rights. That the Constitution said that we were all equal, but they constantly demonstrated that even though it says one thing, we act another. And if those were Black Panthers there, you'd have lots of people calling for the police to go in and break up that armed militia that's standing there in Nevada.
Right.
And then
look at Zuccotti Park. Zuccotti Park. Oh, it's a public park. Well, it turns out actually it was a privately owned park. But hey, it's a public park. You know, what are these kids doing sitting here? We got to go pepper spray them.
Right. And what makes this really scary is that it's Sheriff, Mack? Is that his last name?
Sheriff Mack, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like he's contemplating, or I don't know if you remember the FALN. They were a Puerto Rican movement that were classified.
Puerto Rican separatist group, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, is that what they're advocating, to start bombing public places to overthrow the government?
No, I really don't think Sheriff Mack is advocating that. I couldn't get a clearer understanding from him of exactly what he is, and we should probably get him back on to talk about it. I got to say, you know, he said, you know, voting doesn't work. Our government is bought and paid for by corporate interests. In fact, let me play for you. The first three or four sentences. Shane, oh, you got to open the file. Okay, it's gonna. Here it is. Here's Sheriff Mack. What he had to say.
Voting has not worked. Washington D.C. is bought and paid for by corporate interests. They vote according to the people who donate most to them, and they make laws that come from donors, not from
There you go. They're making, and people on the right know this. People on the left know this. And I mean, you know, our responses are somewhat different. But this is, I think that Sheriff Mack is right.
Yeah, and what I'm afraid of, though, is that this is going to give rise to another Timothy McVeigh type of incident.
Surprise me if there's Timothy McVeighs out there right now sitting around going, okay, how do we do this? You know, looking up on the internet, how do you mix diesel fuel with ammonium nitrate? Wouldn't surprise me at all. Jay, thanks for the call. Michael in Imperial Beach, California. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Mr. Hartman. Just one question. Respectfully to Sheriff Mack, if Nevada or any state should own its own land, shouldn't Nevada own the military bases on its land? And if so, then why do we need a Pentagon?
Well, that's a good question. Yeah, see, that it points up the absurdity of the argument. Michael, thank you very much. Joey in Springfield, Missouri. Hey, Joey.
Yeah, hi, Tom. I listened to that, and it just really upset me. He starts off, you know, because what he says about Washington has nothing to do with the situation he's in right now. He's
well, but he thinks it does.
That. Yeah, that's what I mean. He says Washington, they control. He starts off with saying they control, and he names
right. And the BLM is Washington. I mean, that's the local Nevada face of Washington.
That's what we have them there for. They don't control. They manage. You know, that's why it's called land management. You know, they manage it. They provide these services to all of us.
Yep.
You know, that's what we need as a nation. He's trying to make it separate, as if it's there out there somewhere, and we're down here completely separate from them. In other words, because we can't get our way, they must be wrong. And every time I hear these conservatives talk like that, the first thing they do is they want to tell you what they want, but they never want to tell you how we want to find solutions that's agreeable to all. They don't want solutions. They want their way. And they do anything to get their way. And when they don't get their way, then they need to gather more gangs and start, you know, doing something to get
their
way.
Well, this is the currency of right-wing talk radio and Fox News is outrage and anger. I mean, that's their currency. That's their stock and trade. That's how they make their money. That's how they get their viewers. That's what they're selling to their advertisers. And I don't want to personalize this to Sheriff Mack because he's not here. But I'm not hearing a lot of solutions out of there. Even Richard Viguerie, I didn't hear a solution other than let the Tea Party take over, which is the Koch brothers. Really? Joey, thanks for the call. Marion in Fort Worth, Texas. Hey, Marion, we got a minute till the break. It's yours.
Okay, I'll try to keep it short. I've been listening all evening, well, not all evening, for about the past 2 hours to your show. And I listen a lot because, I really admire your ability to debate with people who you disagree with and remain calm. That's something I'm working on because I live in a state that's incredibly like Nevada and some of these Arizona and other states who think it's okay regarding this sheriff statements that he made a few minutes ago where he said that voting didn't matter.
Right.
That took my breath away.
Yeah.
I was amazed.
Well, I see. I think to a certain extent he's right, but that doesn't mean that a guy should be able to use federal land and not pay for it.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Here in Texas, in the past couple of years, there's been a big crackdown on squatters moving into abandoned homes or foreclosed homes. And that was a big issue here, you know, a couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, I mean, how is that different from this? I mean, where are we going to draw these lines? Marion, thank you for the call. Thoughtful commentary. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
I mean, I'm, you know, maybe Sean Hannity wants to federalize or wants to localize that federal land. I think we should do the same thing with foreclosed homes. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. And Philip in 84, Pennsylvania, watching Free Speech TV. Hey, Philip, what's on your mind?
Hello.
Hey.
Yeah, I have several friends that are conservatives, and I've had the conversation of the smaller government. They're really upset with the federal government. And I kind of steer the conversation this way. I say that you have every right to be upset. You just need to know who you need to be upset with. When it comes to a firearm and somebody misuses it for their own use, you don't blame the firearm. You blame the person who misuses it.
Right.
Well, the federal government is a tool, just like any other tool. It's a tool that the common person, the citizen, has to you know, affect the country.
Well, it used
and
to be,
why
but
would you want a weaker toll?
But Sheriff Mack, I believe, is actually right to a certain extent in saying that the federal government has been co-opted. The problem is he thinks the federal. I don't want to speak for Sheriff Mack. The problem is the narrative on the right is that the federal government has been co-opted by lazy. Well, to paraphrase Paul Ryan the other day, inner city males who have no work ethic, right? Who have no, you know. In other words, you know, the narrative on the right is basically, quote, lazy, poor black people have co-opted the federal government, and they're taking all the money in welfare payments and jacking up your taxes. And in order to enforce that, they're doing all this jackbooted stuff like throwing good white ranchers off their land. And you know, that narrative really lives large in the white right wing community and has ever since the days that Richard Nixon started promoting it, and Ronald Reagan started promoting it by talking about this young buck standing in front of you in line paying for his T-bone steak with his food stamps. And that's a verbatim quote from Ronald Reagan. So, you know, they've got that meme, but they don't realize that the government has been corrupted. It has been co-opted, but not by lazy black people in the inner city. It's those people are the victims of it as much as anybody. You know, not that they're lazy, but you know, black people in the inner city are the victims of this government co-option as much as these white guys out, you know, as Mr. Bundy is. And the co-opting is being done by multimillionaires and billionaires.
I mean, all you have to do is look at how many issues have the majority of the public support but can't make their way to the top. It's because you know, the tool is being misused by the wealthy and,
right.
You know, by the powerful. It's not that wealthy is bad. It's just that the more wealth you have, the more power you have. So if you're going to be powerful, you're more likely wealthy.
So unemployment insurance, you know, they don't want people to have long-term unemployment insurance. They want to weaken Social Security. They want to block grant Medicare. They want to block grant Medicare. They want to voucherize Medicare, block grant Medicaid. They want to do away with programs like Head Start. They want to do away with public education and privatize it. They do not want people to have free public education, you know, post-secondary education, college. You know, on and on the list goes. And these are things where the majority of Americans are not with the conservatives. So the conservatives have to make us all, you know, have to get their people anyway. You know, the whole Hannity, the whole Fox meme basically is it's those basically, you know, black people in the ghetto who are taking your money. And it's not. It's the billionaires. It's the military contractors. It's the lobbyists here in Washington, D.C. who are taking your damn money. Welcome back. Tom Harmon here with you. And John in Sebring, Florida, watching Free Speech TV on the Dish Network, you are raising the question that the sheriff was raising. If I have this right, what happened to the other 50 farmers?
Yes, there were 52 other farmers in the
or ranchers,
area.
Rather. Excuse me. They wouldn't call themselves farmers. They call themselves ranchers.
Whatever.
Yeah. No, it's a big deal out in Nevada.
Yeah, it's not to me, though.
Okay.
And it's not germane to the conversation. The point is, okay, you've got this idea that if the guy just pays a pittance, he can go on being a rancher, he can go on being a millionaire, and they'll just go away and leave him alone. Well, did all the other 52 people, were they too stupid? Oh, I won't pay the pittance. I'd rather lose everything and either go to jail or be burned up like a Waco, Texas.
Well, no, this is what happened in 98. I mean, up until 93, it was pay the pittance, and he was doing that. And in 93, he stopped paying.
He's supposed to get something for his money.
But, the use of this federal land, which he continued to get.
No, he already paid for the use of the land. The fees that he owes is to the BLM. The BLM is supposed to be partner with the ranchers and helping the ranchers. That's what the fees cover. Is the help
where this came to a head, John? And
the BLM stopped helping him.
Well, it's not just that. In 1998, the BLM said, "We're just not going to have cattle, you know, on this land anymore."
Okay, can you do you believe in Disneyland, Disney World?
No, this is what he is saying.
Listen, But Walt Disney bought up huge tracts of land cheap because he didn't go in there and say, hey, I'm Walt Disney. I want to put up a big giant theme park. Everybody would have tripled their price. He did it on the quiet. Something big is going to come through that land, and they need all the land. And if they said, hey, look, we're going to put the big NAFTA superhighway from Canada all the way down to Mexico, and it's going right through here, everybody'd want sky-high prices for their land.
Yep.
If they can steal the land from them, and even better...
But it was never their land.
To pay, you get the guy to pay you these fees, and then you take those fees and buy him out with his own fees.
Right. John, it was never his land.
Well, he
now
has
here,
right,
you know, if you've got
land,
a, you know, let me just finish
there.
This. If you want to promote this conspiracy theory, you may well be right. I mean, it might be that you know, the NAFTA superhighway is going to come through here, or that some big corporation has paid off the local politicians or the BLM. I mean, they're saying that it's because the habitat of this endangered tortoise is at risk.
What it was before, and then they found out that BLM is exterminating tortoises because they got too many.
Well, I have not seen anything that backs that up. But,
that is actual.
But,
that's
but the fact of the matter is that
well,
starting in 98, the BLM said no more cattle on this land. And
well, they want to take the land.
They already own the
land. One way or another.
Right. They already own the land.
He's going to find some new tactic. Just like the turtle tactic.
Right. But see, the BLM already owns the land. You and I already own this land.
It's a split estate, just like with fracking.
I'm sorry, say that again?
It relates to the surface. It's a split estate, just like with fracking.
It is not a split estate. This is not a matter of this guy owns the property and there are mineral rights. The government owns the land. And starting in 1934 with the Taylor Act, in order to put an end to the range wars, where you literally had one rancher shooting another rancher because he was saying, my cattle can go up to that river, and the other guy was saying, no, my cattle can go on the other side of the river. And somebody had to come in and say, oh, wait a minute, this is all federal land, and it's not a free range anymore. We're going to divide it up and designate some of it for specific ranchers. And in exchange for that, they're going to pay a small fee for us supervising those borders and those boundaries, and that's
right.
And the Bureau,
and he paid that fee
up until 1993. And in 1993, when Bill Clinton became president, he decided that was a tyrannical fee, and he stopped paying it.
Well,
and then in 1998,
the BLM started running everybody off the land.
No, they, I don't know but they weren't trying to run him off the land. He just stopped paying in 93. In 98, the BLM said, "Get your damn cattle off the land." Now, whether they did that to all the other farmers in the area or not, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that it was never his land to begin with.
It's like a split estate with fracking.
It is not.
As long as the cows are there, he has the right to keep his cows there and make use of the land.
There is no legal basis for that, John. There is no legal basis for that.
It reverts to BLM.
There, you're arguing squatters' rights here, and there is no legal basis for squatters' rights.
When they first got the land over 100 years ago, they bought the rights to graze in perpetuity.
You called me yesterday because you're mispronouncing perpetuity the same way.
Forever.
You can't make a contract with the federal government in perpetuity. There are several Native American tribes that tried to, and they got screwed. But
yeah, the government made many things.
There is no such contract that his family has with the government. If there was, it would be on the front page of Newsmax. There is no such contract. Whoever told you that is lying to you.
Okay, well, let me digress here a second. Right now there's the trial of the guy, the Blade Runner, killed his wife. And we're going to say, is he... murdered her.
Wait a minute. You want to change the topic?
What if he had killed 52 other women and now he killed?
Okay, John. Bob in Rochester, Michigan. Bob, we just have a minute left. Bob, it's yours.
I'm sorry, Jim. I'll make it quick. It's an honor to talk to you. Real quick, I just want to dial down the talk on this guy. You know what he's doing is wrong. We all know that. I mean, if he wants to raise cattle, he has a contract from like 1890. Why isn't it hurt mentioned 1890 size? But I'd like to just dial this down a little bit. We'll just wait a couple weeks, wait till all the news stories go away, and then federal marshals will pick him up when he goes into town to buy his feed. That's how we deal with it.
Yeah, well, I think that's what the BLM is going to do. I don't think that they're going to pick him up. I think they're probably going to just garnish his bank account. But, you know, something like that is probably what's going to, you know, they say they're going to do administrative remedies. Bob, thank you for the call. I think you're right. I think it is time to dial this thing down. And that's what the federal guy, that's the decision the federal government made. But now you've got a bunch of militia guys running around going, we won. And you got Fox News amping this thing for all it's worth. I'm not sure that's a good thing for this democracy, our republic.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Hey, friends, Tom Hartman here. Thanks so much for watching and listening to the program. The Tom Hartman program is brought to you in part by the following underwriters. Identity Guard. Count on us to help protect what makes you, you. WIX.com. Everyone deserves to have their own website. ITMTrading.com. America's source for rare coins and precious metals. BostonBeer.com. Boston Beer, maker of handcrafted beers. Geico.com. Providers of insurance. IdentityGuard.com, total protection. Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze. And EcoWine.com, your source for organic wine since 1980. These underwriters support our show, so please help by supporting the people who make this program possible. You can learn more at TomHartman.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. We started our program today. It's interesting. We had Richard Viguerie on talking about this, the godfather of the conservative movement. But we started with Sheriff Richard Mack, who had just left the Bundy Ranch and I think was quite sincere in everything he said and in his beliefs. There is this... I was going to say mythology, but that really is, you know, implicitly a pejorative. It implies a criticism. So let's say there's a belief system. I think that's more a neutral term. On the right, on the far right, that we the people are sovereign over our government, not just through the electoral process, not by virtue of electing representatives, but just purely sovereign. And that states, because of the 10th Amendment, should have the power and the right to ignore the federal government. And that individuals, when it comes to certain things, should be able to ignore the law. Now, women should not be able to ignore the law if the law says that they can't have an abortion in the universe of these folks. And an abortion clinic that wants to operate outside of newly passed laws that make it very difficult for it to operate, in their opinion, must adhere to the law. But a white rancher, you know, a guy who wears jeans and rides a horse, white guy who wears jeans and rides a horse out west, he should be able to defy the law because freedom. Now, there is a kernel inside all of this that Sheriff Mack shared with us today where I think there might be a point that the Tea Party and progressives could agree on. Now, unfortunately, the solution that the guys on the right, the militia movement, the Tea Partiers, have seized upon which has been fed to them by and large by Fox News, by the billionaire Rupert Murdoch, and by the Americans for Prosperity, the billionaire Koch brothers. Unfortunately, the line that they've been fed is take down the federal government. Don't let it regulate things. Don't let it control things. And, of course, there's an interest in this. Rupert Murdoch would like to have as many radio, TV stations, and newspapers in the world as he can. He would like to be unregulated. And the Koch brothers and other billionaires of their ilk, but they're the prince, large funders of Americans for Prosperity, would love to have, unrestrained access to federal lands for drilling or uranium mining or whatever it may be. Georgia Pacific is one of their biggest companies, paper products. There's a lot of timber on federal land. And if they could just get that, if they could just take that timber and turn it into toilet paper, the way that the Bundy family is taking the grassland and turning it into beef and not pay any fee on it, they'd be a lot richer. But that narrative is not being told on Fox News or in right-wing talk radio. But the narrative that I think we can share to a certain point is the one that Sheriff Mack laid down 2.5 hours ago, two hours and 20 minutes ago on this program when he said this.
Voting has not worked. Washington, D.C. is bought and paid for by corporate interests. They vote according to the people who donate most to them, and they make laws that come from donors, not from the people. Of course, these laws that are completely and directly associated with corporate interests are still against the Constitution. This whole thing has been, the entire Constitution has been turned on its head by these corrupt public officials in Washington, D.C.
Okay, we can stop right there. And I agree with that statement. Now, he went from there to Obamacare as an example of how the corrupt public officials, and actually, you could build a case that the fact that there's no public option in Obamacare and it's hard for states to do single-payer health care and that the for-profit health insurance company stocks have just been steadily going up for the last 3 years as a result of Obamacare. You could build a case that even Obamacare is an example of the corruption of political processes in Washington, D.C. by corporate interests. Not the same corporate interest necessarily that I'm guessing Sheriff Mack would say, although maybe it is. Maybe he, there is a growing meme on the right. They're appropriating the left's meme. The left used to say Obamacare is just a welfare program for the health insurance industry and the pharmaceutical industry. And now that Obamacare is succeeding and people are liking it, the meme on the right is, hey, it's just a welfare program for the insurance companies and the health insurance industry or the pharmaceutical industry. To a certain extent, it's true. It's like the only way you can get legislation passed, even legislation that keeps people from dying like Obamacare, is by throwing a very large bone to very wealthy individuals and very large, powerful corporate interests. It's true. Sheriff Mack is right. Now, does that make it right that a family out in Nevada should be able to freeload off the federal government? Does that mean that we ought to be able to occupy federal land and just start growing vegetables or whatever we'd like? No. But is there a rot at the core of American democracy? Is there a problem? Yeah. Paul Krugman just pointed out, there's $4-point-something trillion that rich people have stashed offshore to avoid paying taxes. Corporate profits in America right now are at a historic high. Corporate taxes paid in the United States are at a historic low. Rich people are taking home more, since 2008, we've added $34 trillion in wealth in the United States, and all of it has gone to the top, either 7 or 9% of Americans. All of it. When Ronald Reagan came to office, the largest employer in this country was General Motors, and in today's dollars, they paid an average of $50 an hour to their workers who could go to work for them with a high school diploma. Today, the largest employer in the United States, and today General Motors is starting people out at $14.50 an hour, and the largest employer in the United States is no longer GM, it's now Walmart, and Walmart is paying about $10 an hour. So working people in America, he used to, knowing that they used to make $50 an hour and they used to be able to afford a home and to buy a new car every couple of years and take a vacation, and now they're lucky if they're renting and their kids are living with them and they're maxed out on their credit cards and they're just, they're plain old flat out wiped out, and their kids are $1 trillion in debt for college that their parents never had to pay for even. Or if they did pay for it, they could pay for it with a summer job. Now people know they're screwed. Now, for centuries, African Americans in this country have known that they were screwed. And in the 60s, they thought that they were, you know, with the Voting Rights Act, the Civil Rights Act, they thought, hey, it's a second Reconstruction. We're going to get our due. And they didn't. And in the early 70s, the city started to burn. Now, for the last 50 years, 60 years, the white middle class thought, hey, we got our due, everything's cool. And then Reaganomics came along and started taking it away. Now, it's been a much slower and insidious process. And you got the cheerleaders in Fox News and right-wing talk radio saying, don't look at what the right hand is doing.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
But what's happening right now is that the white middle class is starting to wake up and realize that they've been as badly screwed as black people have been screwed for the last 100 years. Actually, that's an overstatement. White people are nowhere near as badly screwed as black people. I mean, you know, black unemployment right now is massively higher than white unemployment. But my point is that when people think that they're going to be able to have a decent life and then they discover that, in fact, no, sorry, it was a bait and switch. You know, when people think that NAFTA is going to open the doors to trade, you know, more American goods will be sold overseas and there'll be more jobs and good jobs. And then it turns out that we're screwed. When expectation diverges from reality, then you have a formula for revolution. And what's happening in Nevada right now is an example of that. Even though to many observers, it seems to make no sense. Anyhow, Paul in Woodinville, Washington, listening on KBCS. You have the answer to my question, how big is the Bundy Ranch?
Well, I don't know if it's the answer. The 160 acres is what we've been talking about.
Well, that's what Sheriff Mack said. One square mile is 640 acres, if I'm remembering correctly, or is it 480?
You're right. So 160 acres is one quarter square mile.
Right.
So what he has is an okay-sized little farm. One quarter square mile is a half a mile by a half a mile, a half a mile on a square with a half a mile on either side.
Right.
It's the entire perimeter is 2 miles. My 85-year-old father can walk around that entire ranch in a half an hour.
Right. That's not much of a ranch.
That's a, you know, let me put some perspectives on this. It takes two adults and two children can live on 6 acres of land farming it. The reason being biblical here, you work 6 days, the seventh day you rest, and an acre is defined as the amount of land that you can work by hand and beast in a day. So you work 6 acres, you work 6 days a week.
Really? Is that where acre came from?
Yeah. It's the amount of land that you can work in a day.
Wow, I had no idea.
That is 43,560 square feet.
Wow.
Okay, so a head of cattle, as that nice lady who called said, that an acre with a one head and a calf. So one head of cattle would need about 6 acres, and that's about what a family can live on. You have a cow, and you can raise your another reference. Thoreau said in Walden that his bean rows stretched 7 miles, and I figured out with 3 feet between each row, his bean rows were about 2.5 acres, and say he had another half acre for his potatoes and stuff. For himself was 3 acres. So, yeah, two adults and two children could live on 6 acres.
Right.
So 160 acres is about enough to graze at most 25 head of cattle, not 900 head of cattle.
Right. So if he wants to have 900, he's got to use the federal lands.
Yeah, and so the other thing I thought of, and maybe Shano can look this up, is I seem to remember that any over 70 head of cattle, you get some kind of federal tax break.
That's right. That's right. There's members of Congress who are doing that.
Do that, exactly.
Amazing.
So he's grazing on federal land and taking a federal tax break for doing it.
Well, we don't know if Mr. Bundy is, but certainly some are.
Well, I bet if he can, he is.
It's very interesting. Very interesting. Paul, thank you for the information. When was ACRE invented?
I don't know if it was when it was invented, but that's what I've read that it was the definition of.
Yeah, but is that like from biblical times or from modern times or?
Well, I don't think acre is a. I don't know. I don't know all the translations.
Yeah. Okay. We'll have to look into that. Paul, thank you. You always teach me something. Welcome back, Tom Harmon here with you. And Ken in Great Falls, Montana. Hey, Ken, you have some thoughts on the Bundy. I'm not sure if it's only 160 acres. I'm not sure we should call it a ranch. The ranch part of it is all the federal land, apparently. But
in Montana, you wouldn't call it a ranch. Like that lady called in, oh, it's thousands of acres if you want to do cattle.
Right.
The sad thing about BLM land, you know, what BLM land was, it was what was left over after all the settling took place. This was land nobody wanted.
Right.
Most of it was in the mountains. It's forest land, but it's foothills, and so it's good grazing land. It's about all it is. The forest land, but there's a bunch of it. There's over 16,000 people running cattle on this land, and they pay somewhere about $1.50 an animal unit.
Right.
Now, the private price of, if you want to graze land, it's about $15 to $25 per animal unit month. And on this federal land, it's been set since about 73 at somewhere under $2. It's a ridiculous giveaway of our land. Now, the biggest people in Montana that use federal land are the Koch brothers, actually. They got a big ranch here, over 300,000 acres. And I've heard that half of that is federal land.
Really?
So they are the biggest welfare mama ranchers we have in the state.
So that would explain why Americans for Prosperity in Nevada is supporting this rancher's right to use federal land and not pay for it.
It is, and it just it is so. People need to realize what this BLM stuff. Now BLM land, what it is, it's multi-use. You can go out there and fishing on it. You can go hunting on it. It's one of the few places left in places like Montana you can hunt for free.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going on private land, the rancher's going to charge you to go on his land. You can go on BLM land. It's your land. It's not federal land. It's your land and it's my land.
Right.
And it's not being taken care of by the prices that they're charging these people. That is the sad thing. You know, the fact that he owes $1 million, if he had run his cattle on free market land, on private land, that price tag would be up over $10 million.
Yeah, well, I think most of that million that he owes is actually the fines that he's, you know, since 1998 when they told him to get off the land and they were going to charge him $200 a head for that.
Yeah.
But your point about the fees is fascinating, that if he was grazing his cattle on private land, a private landowner would charge $15 to $20 an acre to do it, a cattle unit per month. And a cattle unit is a cow and a calf.
Or four sheep or two steers. It's a
right.
formula.
Right. And whereas on federal land, the lease rate is $1.30, right?
Yeah. I think in this last agricultural bill, they might have put it up to $2, but it's still ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, it's welfare.
Yeah.
It's pure open welfare. And the biggest.
And this guy doesn't.
Take it are the Koch brothers.
That, you know, wow.
And other people that take it, there's ranch companies in Montana that are owned by insurance companies in Japan. And so you're giving them that thing, too. There are small people that do it, too. You know, that's the part that gets me. I'm a socialist, so if we can help out a small rancher with a decent land to run his cattle, because it used to be open range, you know,
right.
before the range wars and everything.
Right.
The fact that millionaires get to use it too like that is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I hope people listen and look into this part. I'm hoping that's what comes out of this whole thing is people realize what the BLM land really is.
Yeah,
you know?
Fascinating. Ken, thank you. You know, we're all learning a whole lot here. Ken, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Woody in Delta, Colorado. Hey, Woody. You work on a ranch in Colorado?
Yes, sir. I helped out up on a ranch up here in Mesa County. And we, that fella from Florida, he's you know, he's bonkers. That's all I can say about that. But that, and then, you know, we work directly with the BLM land managers, and we'll go out there before we put our cows on and go cover the ground and look at the grass, and we come to agreement on, you know, the fact that if things, we don't want to overgraze it. We don't want to ruin it.
Right.
And so, like this winter, we had some, well, we run 586 head of cows down there this year with their calves, and we're fall calvers. And this winter, you know, they were kind of hugging the south end there in that South Canyon. And so we went out there looking at it, and didn't like the way they were grazing and being a little too hard on the ground, so we moved them, you know. And that's a little... You go out there in the snow on a horse, you're doing a lot of snow sledding now. We got to move them, and we don't want to overwork that.
How many acres are you working, Woody?
There's 90,000 on that ground we rent.
90,000 acres for how many cattle?
Well, it's 586 head right now building the herd. Out here, you got to have 40 to 60 acres in this desert out here per head. That right. lady in South Dakota, I've been in South Dakota, that's good ground. You know, you can get by with an acre or two per cow, but you got to have 40 to 60 head per cow out here.
Yeah.
And
well, that's maybe where I heard this 100,000 acre figure with regard to Bundy. I don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah.
Fascinating stuff. Okay, Woody, thank you for the heads up and for the information. Good to hear from you. Dan in Crystal Lake, Illinois. Harry Reid's up to something here?
Well, I tried to search to get facts, and, you know, I stumbled upon a YouTube video that we're all being bamboozled, and it's Harry Reid, his son, who works for some solar company, for a Japanese company.
Yeah, that's already been debunked.
It's already been debunked?
Yeah, it's already been debunked.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
His son actually is a lobbyist for that solar company, and that solar company actually has looked at land around the state of Nevada. So, I mean, usually a lie has a kernel of truth in it if it's going to, you know, like Mark Twain said, you know, get around the world before the truth puts its boots on.
It wouldn't surprise
but it has got nothing to do with the Bundy Ranch.
The sheriff is spot on with corporations and power.
I agree.
The left and the right should agree on that.
I agree. I agree. And that's the big challenge. And that's one of the things that David Cobb and Move to Amend is doing so brilliantly, is they are going out and speaking to Tea Party groups about how we've been screwed by the Supreme Court saying that corporations are people and protected by the 14th Amendment, and money is speech and protected by the First Amendment. Dan, thanks a lot for listening to WCPT and for calling in. We'll talk to you soon.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
So, Clive and Bundy, freeloader or freedom fighter? Well, this is fascinating. It's amazing what you can learn by reading the Coke Industries website. And thanks to Shane Farnan, our associate producer, for tracking this down. The Matador Cattle Company. You ever heard of this? Matador Cattle Company? It's a division of Koch Agriculture Company. And they operate three ranches: Beaverhead near Yellowstone National Park in Montana, Spring Creek in the scenic Flint Hills of Kansas, and the historic Matador Ranch in Texas. The ranches total about 425,000 acres under management, including about 240,000 deeded acres. In other words, they own 240,000 acres, but the other, what would that be, about 180,000 acres or whatever, the 280,000, I can't do math in my head that fast, a little short of 200,000, they're leasing from the BLM. They say Beaverhead Ranch is located on more than 250,000 acres in southwest Montana, stretches along a 90-mile road from Dillon to the Idaho border, then east to Yellowstone Park. So if the Koch brothers could get the rules changed so that they no longer have to pay $1.30 per cattle unit per month for the use of these BLM lands, they get 11,000 head of cattle. They wean 9,000 calves annually.
Very interesting. And it's right over there on the Koch Industries website. The Matador Ranch has their own website, too, www.matadorranch.com. The Matador Cattle Company. But I'm looking at this off the Koch Industries page, although this is not set up to print the URL. But anyhow, there it is. Clifford in Ishpeming, Michigan. Hey, Clifford, what's up?
Yeah, well, I could comment, too, about we have huge amounts of state land up here in the UP. And,
yeah.
But anyway.
And some of that is federal forest. I spent a summer living in the Chippewa National Forest up there on Duck Lake. That's federal forest.
Yeah, there is a lot of federal UP. Forest. But really what I wanted to, it makes my blood boil, Tom, when people call in. And you think it would be over with by now, but I guess it's not. The Obamacare thing. These people that call in, like that fellow who wrote the book. You know, when somebody calls, here's the question that I have asked everybody that says something about Obamacare. How does it affect you?
Right.
Not what you heard. How does it affect you?
Right, or hurt you.
And I can tell you that, you know, I'm 76 years old, and I've been on Medicare and Social Security. And this is the first, how has it affected me? This is the first time in years that my Medicare payment has not gone up, and neither has my insurance that I purchased. That has not gone up. So I would say that, you know, am I saving anything from a year? No, and I'm not kicking.
Yeah.
I pay 10% of all my earnings for health care.
Well, plus, you know, if there are uninsured people in your community in Ishpeming there, and previously they might have been sick or even contagiously sick, and now they have access to health care, and you go into town and you don't get sick from contact with them, that works to your benefit. I mean, there's a public health benefit to having everybody in a country insured. This is the most fundamental common sense.
Yeah. You know, I hope some of Romney's supporters are listening, because during the campaign, I like to listen to both sides, and he made the thing that we don't have to worry because there are safety nets.
Right.
Well, let me tell you, this is a little incident that happened. My wife is a caretaker for a person who has been in a big car wreck, and this people that she works with on the state level called her and asked her if she would take this one, try to help this one person. Her husband served in the armed forces during the Korean War and, you know, got good discharge and everything. And when he married a lady from Germany,
mm-hmm.
came home, they raised three children. And I guess people don't think of that, but apparently never thought about citizenship. Well, he died at 67 of a heart attack, and there was nothing. I mean nothing. So it took my wife, who's been working in these kind of things, to try and get her something. And after a long time, finally got her some food stamps, finally got her into one of these where the state will pay for your rent.
She's basically an elderly woman now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And she had no Medicaid, nothing. And
because she was not a citizen.
Right. And my wife worked, finally got her on Medicaid. And she was a little bit on the dementia side. But she was 15 days away from care, somebody to come in and check on her. And 15 days before that was, she fell outside. This winter has been a horrible winter in the Upper Peninsula. In order to try to save her, they would have had to cut one leg off above the knee, one below the knee, one arm. And, of course, it wasn't. No.
She died from frostbite, basically.
Yeah. She laid out. She, you know, fell outside, was able to crawl into her garage, which was not heated. And this year we had, you know, up here, I guess my son said we had 278 days in a row where it never went above freezing.
Right, right.
So, you know, you can't lay in a garage that long. But
no.
It was 15 days away before it could take effect.
Oh,
so much for their safety net.
Yeah, yeah. Clifford, thank you for calling. Thank you for sharing the story. It's amazing. Thank you very much. Thanks for watching Free Speech TV. Pat in Beloit, Wisconsin, listening to WCPT. Hey, Pat, what's up?
Hey, first of all, the gentleman that wrote the book, I personally have went to Tea Party meetings because I need to know what they're thinking.
Yeah.
And I approached one of the persons who was presenting, and I said, are you aware that Dick Armey is involved with the funding of the Tea Party? And she said, oh, yes, we know, but we needed the money. So many of them know what's up.
Sure.
They are willing to sell themselves and realize that they're nothing but puppets, some of them. And that's just really sad that they're being manipulated in that way. But, you know, I called because you talked about this secessionist stuff, and we're having some of that in Wisconsin. And just after I listened to you yesterday, it was on the news last night that they had voted for this. And Scott Walker is backing away from that as fast as he can, just like he's backing away from not having a college degree and going back to school, supposedly, so he can run for president, because you can be non-college educated and be a governor, but you can't be president, obviously, in his mind.
Oh, really?
So
Was he representing himself before as having a college degree, and now it turns out he doesn't?
No. He mysteriously left Marquette University. There were rumors that he was removed due to some cheating, but that was never credibly researched. That was just rumors.
Yeah.
But he did leave short 34 credits.
Yeah.
And
so he's making them up right now so he can run for president.
He's talking about it, and he's going to do it online.
Of course. You do it online, and maybe you can hire a 12-year-old. Amazing. Pat, thanks for the call. Thanks for listening to WCPT. Morris, listening to KPFK in Long Beach. Hey, Morris, what's up?
Oh, how you feeling, Professor? God is good, ain't he?
I agree. What's up?
I just want to share this with you. I really want to take my hats off to the sheriff. That is a very, very smart and a very good man.
He went on. I should add. I mean, you didn't hear the whole segment. We had him on for almost a half hour. He went on to say that because our votes don't matter and our government has been bought and sold, that therefore Obamacare is some sort of insidious plot, that the liberals are ruining our country, that the Bundy family should be able to continue to have their cattle on federal land, because of freedom, you know.
Well, we got them right where we want them, Professor. First thing we're going to do is go see with the police. We're going to seize all of Mr. Bundy's assets. Prosecutors, city, county, state, and federal, are going to draft indictments. There'll also be arrest warrants. This is a terrorist act. You don't draw your guns on the police. Anybody that has any association.
Well, I don't think they did draw their guns on the police. I think they just showed up with guns.
Oh, Jesus. They didn't draw their guns? Well, he's still in defiance.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I was hoping.
Well, he's in defiance of a court order. There's no doubt about that. But
well, we got to take the terrorist part out, but we can still work with the arrest warrants and indictments.
Yeah. So see, I'm guessing, Morris, that rather than amping this thing up, the Obama administration wants to tamp it down, and probably after the election, they will simply start emptying this guy's bank account the same way you do. I mean, you know, basically, he's a deadbeat squatter. And the way that you go after deadbeat dads, for example, is you garnish their checking accounts, you know, if they don't pay their child support. And that's, you know, when he goes to sell his cattle, I mean, he's been fattening them on public land. Whose money is that? It should be ours, right? It should be the federal government. But Morris, thank you for the call. Interesting perspective. I just got to tell you, this is, you know, there are demagogues on the right who will profit. Fox News will make more money from advertising revenue if this thing really goes ballistic. And right-wing talk radio will have more influence. And the militia movement will gain more members if they think that they're under siege from an out-of-control government.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
So we live in dangerous times, Frank. And we need to acknowledge that and take this stuff seriously. And welcome back, Kirk in Bothell, Washington, listening on KBCS 91.3 FM. Hey, Kirk, what's up? Oh, Kirk just vanished. I'm guessing he pushed the button to drop the speakerphone and killed his call back, Kirk. Rob in Buckeye, Arizona. Hey, Rob, thanks for watching Free Speech TV on DirecTV. What's up?
Hey, Tom. I heard your previous caller, the sheriff, the guy from my state, my adopted state of Arizona here, used to be the sheriff. He seems to agree that the government has been bought by corporations and rich people, as you pointed out. And I think you definitely bought onto something there, although, like you said, we disagree on the way to deal with that. The left, we want to solve that problem and make it not the case anymore, where the government is bought and paid for by corporations. On the right, I don't want to put words into the sheriff's mouth, but probably his opinion is that we should just cut out the middleman and get rid of the government altogether and let the corporations and the wealthy just rule from a high.
Well, I think the last part of that sentence would not be part of his vocabulary, because I don't think, let's not make this about Sheriff Mack, because he's not here, but in general, that right-wing perspective, I don't think they're thinking that far ahead. I think that they really believe the Ayn Rand novels, that if the government goes away, other than in its capacity to have an army to protect the nation, and maybe a police department and a court to enforce fraud laws, then the wealthy, noble business people in the free market will create a paradise for all of us.
Exactly. They'll be the ones to make all of the decisions for us little people who don't know any better, instead of our representative government that currently does it for us.
That's correct.
Because they have all the money and they know better.
I think that's implicit in it. It's like getting to that. What's deeper than that, or what's the next step beyond that conversation with somebody, on the right? I've had very little success in doing. I mean, they get right up to the point where it becomes an article of faith. It's like trying to argue religion with somebody, and then suddenly they just say, "But it's in the Bible, and you can't go beyond that," right? And essentially what they're saying is, but it's in Atlas Shrugged, right? We know that if the government just gets out of the way, that everything will be a paradise. And you say, well, it's never happened that way in the past. And when the government does get out of the way, you have Somalia. And, and they say, but that's not America. In America, if the government gets out of the way, we're smart and we've got, we've got marketplaces and things, and we'll fix it. And I just, it's like at that point, what can you say?
Well, that's that's the point of this rancher who wants to be able to do whatever he wants with the public lands, But what about the next guy who wants to do whatever he wants with the public lands?
My point. Yep.
In the wild, wild west, where people are killing each other.
Yep. Then you're back to the range wars. And the reason why the Taylor Act was passed in 1934 was because ranchers were killing each other. And the federal government came in and said, okay, we're going to start drawing lines, and we'll lease land out to the Hatfields and the McCoys, and we'll draw a line down the middle. But you're going to have to pay a little bit for it. Rob, thank you for the call. Where smart people get the news, the Tom Hartman Program. Check out the Matador Cattle Company sometime or for that matter, the Beaverhead Ranch in Montana, the Spring Creek Ranch in Kansas, or the Matador Ranch in Texas, all owned by the Koch brothers. About 500,000 acres under management. They only actually own about 250,000 of it. The other roughly quarter million of it is owned by you and me. And while private landowners would charge $15-$20 a head per month to graze on the land, the federal government charges $1.30. There's not a statement here on the Koch's website about how much of this they're getting off the BLM and how much of it they're leasing from private landowners nearby. I don't know. I'm curious, but I don't know. Marty in Evergreen Park, Illinois. Hey, Marty, what's up?
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I just wanted to chime in on the Bundy Ranch little kind of propaganda machine that's going on about this. I personally think it's a proxy war for the oil and gas industry so that they can get their hands on more federal land to do their shale and gas exploration. I think that if they can really make a big stink about this and reduce, you know, some of the land right and land management, you know, that the federal government has control over, I think that they would love to get their paws on some federal land to do more of their fracking and,
you think,
gas exploration.
Yeah, this is my point. I mean, you know, why does Americans for Prosperity jump in on this? Well, because, you know, the Koch brothers represent interests that would make out really well, whether it's uranium or oil or timber or, you know, I mean, Georgia Pacific is one of their biggest companies, right, a paper product company, or cattle, that they have a lot of interest in public lands, and if the whole structure was to fall apart, they'd get a whole lot richer. And, you know, and of course, why is Sean Hannity in on it? Well, it's the ratings, stupid. It's pretty amazing. Marty, thanks a lot for the call. Jerry in Long Island, listening to WBAI. Hey, Jerry.
Yeah, hi, how you doing? Yeah, I'd like to pick on some points that some early callers made, including your caller just now, because it seems to me this whole situation with the Nevada ranch owner or land owner, whatever you want to call him, Mr. Bundy, this whole situation, to me, with respect to it, Mr. Bundy is trying to say, in effect, that what's his is his, and what belongs collectively to all the public is his, too, to do what he wants with. And so I think it's really part of a larger political agenda, specifically to allow private use more and more of things that belong collectively to all members of the public.
Right.
And there are a number of examples of this. I mean, for instance, even in New York City, we have these privately owned charter schools in New York City. They are demanding public space in and co-location with regular traditional public schools in New York City, including public schools with many special needs children who need the space. But they got in a whole spitting match. The charter school industry, joined unfortunately by New York State supposedly Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo,
right.
The charter school industry got in a whole spitting match with New York City's new seemingly progressive mayor Bill de Blasio over this whole issue. And with respect to Medicaid in states such as Arkansas, Iowa, and New Hampshire, the politically bought up and sold out legislators in those states, they're demanding that with respect to any expansion of Medicaid, they're allowed to use federal public Medicaid money to buy private health insurance for
right.
people. And that's according to a March 7th New York Times.
No, that's the Arkansas plan. There's two states that the Obama administration has said, okay, fine, you can do that. You can give the 20% profit to the health insurance companies. They can cycle it back to Republican politicians as campaign contributions. We'll let you do that with Medicaid money if you'll at least insure some poor people, working poor people in your state. And I, Jerry, you are spot on, in my opinion. Steve in Phoenix, Arizona, you have a solution to the Nevada standoff?
Well, I wanted to say a couple of good things about Bernie and the Attorney General here. But, yeah, possibly. This Nevada steer jockey here, he's been on TV saying he doesn't even recognize the federal government. Well, this is horrible. You know, he and Mike Huckleberry, who just says North Korea has more freedoms than the U.S., well, they could just go on over there and live and see how they like it there. And, well, at this point, we could just exercise some eminent domain and round up the cattle and do a little barbecue, you know. But we know that ain't going to happen.
Well, you know, we rounded up some of the cattle that he had on our federal lands, and now we're giving them back, apparently, and letting them use the land again. So the solution would be basically to take his ranch by eminent domain. See, I don't see that as a solution. I think that that's just going to further inflame. He's apparently only got, according to Sheriff Mack, he only has 160 acres.
If that's true, who knows?
Yeah.
But anyways, you know, the big issue in our country, you know, one of the bigger issues, too, is I want to talk about Eric Holder the other day. First off, everybody does need to go get to PD America and sign on for Bernie as a Democrat. That's urgent.
Yeah, go to pdamerica.org and sign the petition to get Bernie to run as a Democrat. I'm with you.
Exactly. But I loved it the other day last week when Eric Holder told Louie Gohmert, in Texas to jam it. You know, he's exactly right.
Yeah, you don't want to go there, buddy.
The president, they've had to put up with more guff and more BS than any other administration ever has had to, and it's horrible, Tom.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you, Steve. Gary in Seattle on KBCS. We just have a half a minute, Gary. You had a really quick story in Alaska.
There was this guy who had a homestead in Alaska, and he's bulldozing a road across the tundra, and these same people were defending. Oh, you know, the salt of the earth, and it turned out that he was like abusing his daughters, and he had kind of a cult going, and you don't hear about him anymore. But it was the same thing. It was this, the innocent citizen and the tyranny of the federal, you know, national park system or something like that. So
yeah, it's pretty strange stuff. It's a strange group. Gary, thank you for the call. Well, we'll see where this goes tomorrow. I didn't expect this to occupy most of the show today, but it's getting more and more fascinating. And the possible intersection of the right realizing they've been screwed and the left realizing that they've been screwed and all of us being screwed by the billionaires. And, maybe the right's going to start figuring this out, although it seems like they want to think they're being screwed by the Obama administration and the BLM, right? I mean, that's their story. Anyhow, don't forget, democracy begins with you. Get out there, get active, tag, you're it. See you.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, go to tomhartman.com.
Hey friends, Tom Hartman here. Thanks so much for watching and listening to the program. The Tom Hartman program is brought to you in part by the following underwriters. Identity Guard. Count on us to help protect what makes you, you. WIX.com. Everyone deserves to have their own website. ITMTrading.com. America's source for rare coins and precious metals. BostonBeer.com. Boston Beer, maker of handcrafted beers. Geico.com. Providers of insurance. IdentityGuard.com. Total protection. Quicken Loans. Engineered to amaze. And EcoWine.com. Your source for organic wine since 1980. These underwriters support our show, so please help by supporting the people who make this program possible. You can learn more at tomhartman.com.